Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
And if you ever fix your mouth to disrespect her like that again, bro, it's gonna be bad for you.
Hey, it's your girl B, and welcome back to another episode of Celebrity Truth or Dare. Okay, so today's guest is one of the most watched comedians in the world right now, Ali Siddique. The plan was simple. Ali was going to join me to play Celebrity Truth or Dare. But Ali is a master storyteller, so somehow we spent part one of this episode talking, which honestly turned into a great conversation about comedy, independence, and the journey that got him here. So part two is where the actual game of Truth or Dare begins, so stay tuned for that next. Now sit back, relax, because you work too hard not to. Grab yourself a snack and enjoy the show. Welcome to Celebrity Truth or Dare.
Okay.
You're already giving me tips and advice. I got all these ideas now. I gotta do that. I have to do that stink bomb. I have to try.
Oh, you have to do the stink joint. You have to do it.
So it's called a stink joint, not a stink bomb.
No, it's a stink, but joint is like a slang word.
So
I told
okay,
you,
okay.
Ask me to speak another language, slang.
So,
it's like the stinkiest joint that you can find. You gotta look it up. It's in a thing and you turn it like, oh man, it's so bad.
Oh, I have to try it. I have to try it.
It's like, it smells awful. Like, just Google the worst scent ever.
and it
should come up. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You look great. We're both in our Canadian tuxedos.
Yeah, didn't even know that you was Canadian.
No, what? Isn't that hilarious? And we didn't exchange notes ahead of time. We're
not
just
at
matchy
all.
Matchy.
Yep. Not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, this is comfortable.
Yes. So you're on a huge winning streak, and you're doing it all independently.
Wow.
Isn't that I'm blown away by your success.
Thank you. I'm blown away by it. I'm amazed.
Yeah.
It's been a great ride, thus far, and it's only getting better, due to me putting out so many specials. Right now we have out Mondays, getting ready to drop My Father.
Yeah.
So, Domino Effect, NAACP Image Awards right now for my two sons. So, we having a good run.
Domino Effect got what? Like, is it 47 million views?
Crazy, right?
That's insane.
It's weird.
Okay, so what? You have reached a level that most comedians never reach. And you're doing it all on your own. What is it that you're doing? What is it that you're delivering that's keeping those audiences coming back?
Just honest stories. I think that's the connectivity between me and the audience, that I've tapped into just the human side of life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making up anything. I'm not going on the news. I'm not being political. I'm just day to day. Things that just happen to you day to day in life, and just telling my own story. It's weird for me to do all of these specials and I'm not talking about anybody else but myself.
Mm-hmm.
And my actual family, my immediate family. So, no Donald Trump, no political satire, no giving salacious information about other people. It's just what I got going on, which is great, which is a great feeling to be in that space where I can just talk about me.
Yeah. No, it's so interesting because I think that storytelling like that, when you're speaking from the heart, speaking from your history, you are connecting with the audience and they see themselves in you too. And you've had the struggle. I mean, I feel like the cards were stacked against you. Like nothing was just handed to you.
What's weird is I stacked them cards myself. I come from a pretty good family, very educated family. And then I decided that I wanted to be in the streets and make these mistakes. And I think And when people start watching Domino Effect and they start getting into the story of that, I was really forthcoming about, I didn't need to be out there. My mom had a job. My mom had a career. I wasn't really wanting for anything. It's me making bad decisions on my own, you know? And I used to always say when I was locked up, I was like, yo, am I the only person here guilty? He's be like, we didn't do anything. Okay, so nobody did nothing but me. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Just being honest about the mistakes and then letting people know you're not your mistakes. You know, everybody make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have missteps, but that's not the end all be all. And I really feel like now, where I'm at now is because I used to say this. People used to ask me, when you think you're going to blow up? Okay, that's... Blowing up is kind of a self thing. Like, what do you mean by blowing up? Like, mean like not having to work for nobody else and be able to take care of your family? Or famous? You know, it's a difference between being famous and being popular.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have the desire to be famous. I just have the desire to be able to provide for my family and be a light for my community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same community I was destructive in. And I used to always say, I'm going to, quote unquote, for lack of better terms, blow up when I pay the universe back for the damage that I've done. You know, and I feel like, you know, I'm getting some of those blessings because I do so much in the community and that I'm kind of paying it back. So that's a big thing to me.
Yeah, I think you hold yourself to just a very high standard. I don't think you're giving yourself enough grace. I mean, you were raised by a single mom. And I recognize your story and your dad walking out because I had the same thing happen to me. And I recognize that type of, that heartbreak, like early on. I mean, how old were you when that happened?
No, my dad left at 3, but then 7 years later, I went to live with him.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I lived with my dad from 10 to 14.
Okay.
Then I went back to my mom. I probably should never live with my dad, you know, because some things that we look at as bad is actually grace from struggles that you could have. So the new special that I'm getting ready to drop is called My Father. And I'm kind of fixing those ideologies that people try to hold on to. Like, I'm not the person that's going to hold on to, oh, I had a absentee father. I had this. My father wasn't the worst. He just wasn't ideal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't the father that I saw on television, you know, but he did give me some things, you know, like the reason I don't work for anybody is because of my dad. My dad told me, when I was 6, hey, yo, the same energy that you can put in for somebody else, you can put that in for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I wear a lot of tailor-made clothes because of my dad. My dad never wore anybody else's clothes. He always wore his own tailor-made suit.
Mm-hmm.
I play chess because of my dad. You know, I'm a good businessman because of my dad. And all the rest of the things that complement that is because of my mom. So but I also am a good father, not based upon my mom, it's based upon my dad.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I never wanted my kids to look at me the same way I looked at my dad for years.
Wow.
So that motivation of not ever disappointing them, and, you know, my dad was fun when he was around.
My dad was fun too.
Yeah.
A fun dad. But it made it more heartbreaking when he wasn't there.
Yeah. Because of the fun. Like, I didn't want to think about what it could have been like if he was always there.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just relish in the times that he was. And so I don't harbor, because I don't know what his past was, you know, until later on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to judge him based upon information that I did not have. I didn't know my dad was abused and had a terrible father. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until he told me. So I didn't know his past history, but I said, well, I'm not going to be my dad in that aspect. So I'm going to be there for my kids, because that's what you're supposed to be anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need no pat on the back for that. That's what you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, produce life And so my driving force to being successful is, you know, so my kids can just have a very privileged life. And now they spoiled. I don't say rotten, they just spoiled.
Spoiled beyond belief.
Yeah, they don't look at things any kind of way that I grew up. Like,
yeah.
They don't even, I wish my kids would do what I see some of these other entertainers' kids do. I grew up rough. What? I'm going to be the main one trolling. I wish one of my kids would be on the internet. I grew up love. I had it hard. I'm like, what you had hard? I would be trolling my kids to death. Yes. So you grew up where? Since when? You didn't even go to the, what? Like I would, my bad. You had it hard. They ran out of oysters. You know, one day they ran out of oysters. That's how my kids would have to talk. Like, you know, I had it so rough. You know, I went to this place and they only had one style of caviar.
Can you believe that? Outrageous.
You know, one week, I could not believe it. We went out to eat one time. Yes. I was like, what is this? they could never say that they, hey, man, if my son or my daughter's ever said that they was hungry, I'm like, yeah, because you didn't go in the kitchen.
Go in the kitchen and grab the food that's already in there.
That's already in there. Like, yo, like we had it hard. Oh, yeah, you had it hard. You had a design. Your bedroom is designed for you.
That's nuts.
Like you literally, a designer came in and, oh, my bad, your name is on the wall. It didn't light up one time.
Changed your mind on the color.
You a wild person. Like, it would be crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can only imagine sending a birthday list and actually getting everything on your list. And it's like 30 things on this list.
Yeah.
And you got all of them. Everything that you had on your list, you got. For multiple years.
Hmm.
Like, yo, you had a housekeeper that somebody did your clothes. You never worried about anything.
It's a completely different reality. You're like on a different planet. Like, that's...
It's...
Even today, I can't even fathom that. Even for myself.
It's
like everything on that list. Like, and it's just expected, too.
It's like, what? Like, okay. This would be like a hard thing to watch my kids. Like, yo, I was going to practice and I can't believe it. We pulled up in a old Bentley. Well, yeah, and then other kids like, what year was it? 2021.
Oh my God. Ugh.
Like, what are we doing here? Like, and then we valeted and like,
yeah,
like I would, like, I, y'all nuts.
It's totally different.
It's though. A totally different thing. I never even thought that my dad had this car called a Peugeot.
A Peugeot? What is that?
It was a very nice luxury car for the 80s.
Okay.
It was called a Peugeot. And It was nice, and I think about that when I look at my kids. Now, like, I have a Bottega, so I think in my mind, like, did I get this because of my dad? No, I got this because of my daughter. We went to a dealership, and my baby, she was three at the time. My baby sat in that car and said, "Daddy, this is nice."
She knew then.
She was like, This is nice.
And
I bought it because she said it was nice.
Wow.
And it's crazy to me.
That is crazy. But Ellie, I feel like you've cracked the code for success. I truly, because it's like you look at your past mistakes, you don't lean on them as a crutch, and you figured out how to pull the lesson from every trauma. Like, I just, as you're talking, I'm trying to like unpack everything, right? Because you spoke about how your dad, you know, he made a lot of mistakes.
you were able to pull all the good things from him and apply it to your life. And anything you didn't like, you just did the opposite. You almost like hacked life. Like, do you feel like you're an objective person? You can sit outside the situation and look at your past, look at your stories, look at your experiences, and just learn from them and use them as tools moving forward? Because you broke a generational trauma by doing that, I feel.
I feel like I'm not willing to succumb to that. It's like a weakness to me.
You think it was like a victim mentality,
yeah,
like identifying, yeah.
Like, because I don't think that life is hard. I think it's life. And mm-hmm. in life, you're going to go through some things. It's how you deal with those things that you go through.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not willing to soak or wallow in anything. I can't. And I guess because I'm a Libra and I like to be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's making me unbalanced, I have to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just doesn't sit well with me. It don't sit well with me to even be in a disagreement with people when it doesn't make sense. Like, mm-hmm. I need to figure out, like, what is the sense in this?
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I can let it go. Like, me and my dad had a wild kind of relationship. And I remember just thinking about the things that he said to me and then it coming back on him.
Mm.
He had told me one day that, you know, I should always stick by my sister. My sister's 2 years older than me. He was like, yo, y'all gotta always stick together. I said, okay, cool. Don't let nothing come between y'all. Don't let nobody harm one another. None. So I gotta be like 30, 38, 39. My sister called me. She's crying. I'm like, yo, what's up? What's up with you? My dad had called and said something to her that hurt her feelings.
Mm.
So then I called him. And this was literally the conversation. Yo, my man, I don't know what you got going on, but if you ever call my sister again and hurt her feelings like that, bro, it's going to be me and you.
Wow.
But it was some lot more choice words. I don't want to be on your network. I'm crazy. It was some very choice words. And I was like, I went back to my street person. And like, yo, bro, let me explain something to you. I'm not for play about her. And if you ever fix your mouth to disrespect her like that again, bro, it's gonna be bad for you.
You
know what I mean?
You almost became like the father to him.
And
you're checking him in that moment.
Like it was way more choice words than that. And then I was like, yeah, so you have a nice day, brother.
At the end of it, button it all up.
Then he called me back, and he was like, I understand what you're saying. And I'm going to excuse your tone and your language, because I know why you like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. And I said, yeah, I know that I'm right. He said, I already admitted you, right? You can tone it down. But he knew I was dead serious. But I didn't call him. My grandma had dementia, right? And I was putting money in her account, making sure that all her stuff was together. And then my sister alerted me. He said, I think somebody is stealing money out.
What?
Our grandma's account. So I called my dad. I'm like, and this is me again on one. I said, yo, let me run this by you. Let me run this by you, bro. Listen, somebody's stealing money out of my grandma's account. It's either you or one of your brothers. You might want to figure it out, because if I don't know in an hour what's going on or who it was, I'm going to come down and axe murder all of y'all. And I'm not even close to playing, bro.
No one messes with grandma. No one.
And he know how I feel about thieves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't steal nothing.
From family to your own mother?
So my dad, I hung up. My dad called me back maybe like 30 minutes.
He was thinking about it.
He was like, yo, it was Alfred.
He snitched.
And I was
snitched.
I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, I'm finna go down there and I'm finna check him. So him and my dad, him and his brother, that's his younger brother, got into a fight behind it.
Oh.
And then I went down there and I got my grandmother and brought her to Houston.
Okay.
So I'm like, yo, bruh. Yeah, because he like, yo, I'm telling you, my Uncle Mac, I always say, man, that boy ain't for play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we raised him, so we know how he is. Like, bruh. But I have a real love for my family, but I can't take no thief. You know?
No.
So my dad, he's like, yo, he's been like this for a long time. Like, yeah. Like, I've never... My dad would tell anybody, man, that man not for play. Because y'all don't understand his mentality. I don't do nothing to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But once you do something, like to family or myself, you got to deal with what comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to, in everything, I try to stay balanced. Did I want to talk to my father like that? No. But I didn't want what was happening to be happening either.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my mom don't have the same relationship. If I need something or I'm just want to talk, I call my mom. And my mom has made her own mistakes. You know, but how couldn't she make mistakes when she was under that much pressure? You know, my mom 20 years old with two kids.
Mm-hmm.
Going to school, working two jobs and going to school without no help. So it's going to be some mistakes she's
yep.
going to make.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I give her the grace on that. But sometimes I need my mama and she'd be on some something. I'm like, yo, that ain't what I need right now, shorty. I need... I was like, yo, man, I need this. And my mom be like, okay, but we'll talk about it. Man, I don't want to talk about it. I want you to fix it.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes
yeah.
you... Especially like with my girls. Like I have girls. So sometimes I be need my mom to be the grandmother, but she don't be wanting to intrude. No, do what you would have did with me. You would have intruded on me. I don't want to intrude nonsense. I'm like, yo, mom, let me call you back. And she'll call me back because she know I'm mad. Hey, what you want?
Yeah.
I told you, I want you to call and ask that girl why she doing it.
It's
like, yo, so it's different relationships, and I think that my balance in life is different. You know, so mm-hmm. I have a healthy respect for freedom and a healthy respect for life because I think about death every day, every single
you
day.
You know what's crazy? I think about my mortality too, a lot. And it's not in a weird way. It's in a way that it motivates you to do all the things that you want to do in life.
All the, because you don't have, people don't understand. They don't have the time that they think that they have.
It always feels like you got more time than you really do.
And
time just goes by so fast.
I want people to understand they do not have the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, man, if you're trying to do something, do it. Start it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I know who I don't like, anybody who say they are perfectionists, because perfectionists never complete anything.
But you see, that's been my lesson, because I'm like, okay, I want to get it ready. And then it can be this illusion that you are doing the right thing and you're on track, but then you're using it as a mode of procrastination or putting things off. So I've learned to just like, it's okay to be messy. You just have to show up and just do it. You can perfect it later and reiterate it as you go. You have to do that anyway. Life is a whole big mess of learning lessons anyway.
The perfection is in the try.
Exactly. Yes.
It's like,
yes.
The perfect in the try is that when you trying, because you want to do something once then you're going to do it better again. You're going to do it better again. It's not going to be the best the first time. Mm-hmm. That makes no sense.
No, it's impossible for it to be the best the first time. And I read someone, like, interviewed a bunch of people in their 90s, you know, towards the end of their life. And it's like, they always ask, like, what is your biggest regret? And it's always them not doing the things they wanted to do or listening to people who told them that they couldn't go and do the things they wanted to do.
That's crazy.
That's it.
So I wrote this book, Applied Advice. This is the 13 things that pushed me towards where I'm at now. And I took that advice of people who I respected and people who were doing the things that I wanted to do. And I took their advice and I applied it. Mm-hmm. I didn't just take their advice. I didn't just hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually applied it to what I was doing. And that seems better than being a mule with advice, because a lot of people are mules with advice. They just pack it on their back and
yeah.
they don't use it. So what is, you know, you didn't waste it, your time and the person's time that gave you advice. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I'm not in that space to where I don't want to do that. I just want to be free,
mm-hmm.
and free to express what I got going on, not infringe on anybody else's freedom, being courteous, and just staying balanced in what I'm doing. So my code to life is really trying with everything I want to try, being as forgiving to myself as possible, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people don't forgive themselves for mistakes, and they don't forgive themselves for mistakes that happened to them that was orchestrated by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You're not your mistakes, and you're not other people. Say you're in a relationship. If the relationship didn't go well, you're not that other person's faux pas.
Mm-hmm.
You're your own situation,
mm-hmm.
you know. And people hold on to things, and it's insane. You know, it's kind of like blaming my manager for slavery because he white.
Yeah, he wasn't there.
You and your ancestors. He's like, with ancestors, my grandma.
You gotta hold him accountable for what he does.
Like, so that's the thing, you know. It's I think people just have to really be honest with themselves,
mm-hmm.
on what they at in life and space, you know. And if, when you're not honest with yourself, or you living somebody else's life. My dream is not to be somebody else. My dream is to be the best version of me.
Yeah, the best version of you.
Like when people are like, oh, you the next. I'm not the next anybody. I'm the first Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
the next nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not living or doing my life in envy of nobody else's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the other part of being successful in this business. Because I don't want what other people want.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. So you can't judge me by, oh, you don't have a movie. Who told you I wanted to be in there? Well, you don't have a sitcom. Well, who told you I wanted one?
Yeah, yeah.
And then in my mind, I can say this. You've never been number one or two or three on a call sheet.
Mm-hmm.
The sitcom has never been based upon you. You've been a feature in the sitcom. You can always chip at somebody's thing. If somebody had a sitcom, but it only lasted two seasons. You're not the Cosby's.
It doesn't end. There's always
it's always
comparison.
Something that you know what when I wrote jokes, I would write the truest joke.
Yeah.
That, and this is the truest. This is the joke that changed a lot of my thought patterns on somebody else's stuff, right? You think you can make a millionaire feel bad?
I think you can. You can always make someone feel bad.
You can always make somebody feel bad. So watch this. A millionaire, right? The Boston Celtics traded 7 people for Kevin Garnett.
Wow.
7 other millionaires got traded for one person. 7 other NBA basketball people got traded for one person. You know how crazy that is? If you talking about chipping at somebody's esteem, self-esteem. So one person, and they came and said, well, we'll give you these two people for that person. And it was like, no. Well, we'll give you these four people for this person. They're like, no. We'll give you
five.
We'll give you these six people for that one person. And they was like, no. And then I said, I would want to be number seven.
I said, lucky number seven.
I said, even though all that's bad, I would still want to be number seven.
Because that's where it ended.
Because I would be like this. You know, so I would be telling the other six, you know, I'm the sweetener. You know, I sweetened the deal.
It took me to close that deal.
You know, to close the deal. Yes. But it's like, yo, the craziest thing, seven other NBA people got traded for one person.
That's wild.
For one person. And I think they gave him a draft pick, too. And some more money. Like, yo, like that's, do you know how crazy that is?
Yeah.
I would be like, yo, and I thought about it. Wow. No matter how much money and success you have, if you really wanted to be sad about something and you still, if somebody wanted to insult you, something could still happen. Because out of them seven people, I'm like, yo, you really must not be that good. You got traded for one person. As a millionaire, you would feel some type of way. And I said, you know something? But would I care? The point is, the only way you can insult me if I care.
Yeah.
Like when people say, you ain't shorter than I thought you were. Hey, I'm cool with being 5'7".
You're like, so?
But to think about, this is people's insecurity of even having a conversation with me. Mm-hmm. That you're so insecure about this conversation that you think that you lead in with an insult.
That's weird to me.
That I'm not even insulted by.
Yeah, they think they can get to you. They think they can, they look at it like it's some type of insecurity and they can use it against you, like for power. And, is that what that is?
And you know how crazy it is for somebody to say, you look taller on my phone? I thought you were taller on my TV screen. Like, what type of TV you got? I'm only this big, two inches on this TV,
like, or on your phone. Like,
and people say you look taller. Where? On what? Where did you see me at? And I look tall. Uh-huh. I want to know. Because I don't even have a desire to be tall. That's the whole thing.
Like, have you seen these guys that will, like, actually cut their shins and get these, like, extensions? How do you match your arms? He's going to tie up 12, your shoelaces?
12 years ago, I did that story as a joke. 12 years ago.
Really?
Because they was doing it in China.
Yeah.
And I read it 12 years ago. That's how crazy that is.
That's nuts.
I used to do this joke about people. I said, do y'all know people trying to make themselves taller?
Like extended.
And then I went through the whole process. And I said, now this is the problem. You was 5'7". Now you are 6'2", but you still have your 5'7" arms.
Exactly.
You turned yourself into a T-Rex. And I did that on NBC's Bring the Funny in 2019, but I had already did it years before that. That's why I could do it so rapid fire. Because it was like, man, most of these stories and things, I'm like, yo, I did that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, because I used to read the paper. I'm like, every morning I'm in the paper. And then I was do these, recancel these stories. And then my mind said, this is plagiarism. Crazy. That's how I think about stand-up. Is when people are, well, people stealing jokes. Aren't they now? Oh. So if you watch the news and the anchor does something, or you read the paper and a journalist who did all his research writes something or doing it, and then you go on stage and give your account of it, is that not plagiarism? because you didn't make it up. You didn't do the research on it. You didn't go and do a, you wasn't an investigative reporter. You know what I'm saying? So it's a fine line between what I think is stealing. If you're doing an impression of somebody else from a movie, is that stealing? These are things that people have to ask themselves when we talk about being original. Because if you say something and then I take it and put it on stage, it was your actual thought.
Yeah, it'd be my story.
Because you're not a comedian, did that give me the rights to it? As I plagiarized you. That's the thing. So when people have all these grand ideas of what they think stealing is, you know, and you be like, well, let's get down to
brass tacks here.
That's the thing. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but can you say, if I'm talking about my life from 10 to 25, my actual life?
That's your story.
Are we the same? As far as writing is concerned. Or, I don't know if you've ever seen any of the Domino Effects. Okay? So, you watch Domino Effect. If you watch Domino Effect 2 and then know that I never ran it anywhere, the day we taped it is the day that I did it. Wow. But if you see it, you'll be like, it's no way that he just walked out and did this. Yeah, it is a way.
The talent.
If I say we have 9 specials out, I haven't sat down and wrote in 5 years as a comic. I haven't written anything in 5 years. Do that make us the same? I don't have any writers. I haven't written anything in 5 years. I've gotten on stage and recalled my life.
Yeah, you're a storyteller. For me personally, that's my favorite type of comedy. I mean, I don't mind like a flat joke, but I love a story, a good story that takes you on a whole journey. Ah.
Hassan is, my two sons is nominated for Outstanding Variety Series or Special.
That's the NAACP Awards.
NAACP Awards, right? And it's based upon, it's refreshing that I didn't get it for any type of prison story or any type of backlight. I got it for current life with my two sons.
I love that.
And these are my two sons. These are the stories of me and my sons. And which is an incredible thing as an independent. So to crack the code, I just found out I was the only independent ever nominated for an award.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
But to do with talking about my sons is insane.
Isn't that incredible?
It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, and the amount of admiration that people have started to have. Like, I can go on the stage and say, hey, I'm going to talk about my sons, and everybody starts screaming Hassan.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
So for his birthday, he was on the road with me. And when Hassan walked out, it was pandemonium.
Oh, like, my God, he's got some fans.
It was crazy.
I love it.
So he walks out.
A celebrity.
And it kind of solidified what I say about him, because now they looking at him. Mm-hmm. Hassan has on Gucci shoes. He has on Gucci slack.
Living up to the name.
He has on Gucci bomber jacket. His hair's cut. He's freaking handsome. He's so handsome.
Yeah.
He is so handsome. Like he looks like what I wish I ever looked like. When I look at him, I'm like,
you created the best version of yourself. You're like, I made you into my image of what I wanted to look.
You got all the best skin products.
He's set up.
And he walked out and he was like, yeah. And his whole thing was, what's up, people? Hang out. I was like,
Obama. Like, yeah, that charm.
Same. Like, yo. I said, get off the stage. Like, and I just couldn't believe how warm they were.
Yeah.
So New Year's Eve, when I did the show New Year's Eve, I brought out my daughters. Like, I would do a story about a daughter, and then she would walk out. And they would see them like, oh, snap. That's so then the one that they know the most about is Hanan. Either they know about Jaden, which is the Black Seal, or they know about Hanan. And Hanan is my business baby.
Okay.
That's who I talk business with. Like, and so I was doing the story about how Hanan always has money.
Ooh.
Always has money.
Always.
Always. Like, always. If I tell you always have money, always. So me and Hanan was at the table and we was talking about I bought the silver and then I bought some gold. And I was telling Hanan about the value of it and how to, and then some other people walked in the room and we just stopped talking. And they left out, we started laughing and went back to talking about the gold.
Yeah.
So I'm out with Hanan, and for some reason I didn't have any cash on me. I'm like, Hanan, let me hold $20 until we get home. He's like, until we get home? I said, yeah, I'm gonna give it to you as soon as we get home. I'm like, okay, cool. Hanan goes in my purse, gives me $20. We get home. You know, I think we home about like 30, 40 minutes. And Hanan is just with her arms folded and she keeps walking by me just looking at me.
Just waiting.
And I said, Hanan, what's wrong with you? And I said,
that girl is serious about her money.
We've been home for 40 minutes. And you still have to give her money. So I said, all right, long shark. So I gave her $50.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, since you gave me $20, it's $50. And Hanan said, that's about right.
For the time waited.
Like, she is a wow. She is a wow.
Oh.
That's my business, baby. And we talk, just the relationship. You know, having a different relationship with each. Like, I have Helena. Helena, I call her Chunka Champ. Chunka Champ is an ice skater.
Oh, okay.
So, 11 competitions, 2 silvers, which was her first competition. And when she moved up, and she got another silver. But she has 2 silvers and 9 golds.
Wow.
So,
an Olympian in the making.
So she has all these Olympic coaches, and they like lobbying her, and she's there. So, Chunka Champ is like locked in to ice skating. The same way I'm locked in to skating.
Yeah.
Like, she's, I can see it.
Like, that is her passion. That is like,
she is
her source.
She's been skating since 6.
Wow.
So, in 2 years, she's been. Really 5, because she turned 6 when she first started. So she went on a Wednesday. We just happened to be in the mall. We went ice skating. She's on the little blue skates. Then she had a class on a Friday. Sunday she was on an ice skating team.
Coach. What?
And since then, our coach was Hope, our first coach, which was Disney. She skated for Disney.
Oh, cool.
And now it's 2 Olympic coaches. She goes to these camps. And everybody, to look at people on TV and know they know her.
Yeah.
That's in the Winter Olympics. And like, oh, they know
her. Yeah, no, her future is paved. Her future is paved for her.
And
that's incredible.
She's trying to keep it fun. Like, if she doesn't want to skate, it's like something's really wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you talk to her, and then she get out there, and then you see her start to light back up. Like, something had to be wrong.
Yeah.
She wasn't feeling it, but she always season through. It's like, it's crazy to watch it. Like, you're watching a version of yourself become different, you know. And you have Shad. Shad is my veterinarian who loves animals, like all these birds and lizards and all this stuff.
Speaking of birds and lizards, we've got some crickets and larvae that you're going to be trying today.
I'm trying to talk you out of it. Like, let's be more interested and see what we want.
You're going to buy yourself all this time?
No.
Let's stretch out the story.
We eating something.
We're eating some critters today.
It's like the new Joe Rogan when he was on the FX Factor. What was it? Fear Factor?
Fear Factor, yes.
You would be the worst.
Timon and Pumbaa food.
that'd be crazy. He was like, yo, you going on Fear Factor. Who's the host? He was like, not this lady. He was like, I'm not going to eat a roach in front of this lady. He's like, she's like, no, we are doing it.
We are doing it.
Okay, so that was part one with Ellie Sadiq. Ellie definitely managed to talk his way through this episode, but in part two, there's no more stalling. And that's when we spin the wheel of misfortune. Ellie faces some brutal dares, including eating bugs. And then we finish with the world's tiniest, hottest chip challenge with no milk, which almost took us both out, by the way. So if you want to see how that all goes down, make sure to watch part two. And as soon as the episode is out, you'll find the link in the description bar below. This is your girl, B, and I'll see you in part two.